Praise His holy name. That's what we're here for. We want to welcome you to Volusia County Baptist Church this morning, and we are so thrilled to have you here. If you have your bulletin, we'll start with our scripture reading for this morning, and a familiar passage, but a great passage, and one that we need to be looking at and think about in Psalm 100. And if you're here with us for the first time, the bold verses we'll all read together here. It says in Psalm 100 and verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Brother Jim Lyle, sir, if you would come and open our service in prayer as we begin here.
Just remind you that Monday the 28th, that's a week from Monday, we're going to the boat ride over in Winter Park. We're going to be eating at 11:30 at the Golden Corral, and we're also going to be taking the boat ride at 2 in the afternoon, so it'll be as warm as it's going to be. It's supposed to be about 77 that day. So let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank You again for the Word of God. We thank You for Your precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved us and changed our lives and took us out of this old world's really bad place and put us in the right place, Lord, so we can help others, Lord. We've got to do what You've done for us to other people. Ask You to bless the services today, every service, every person here. May God, the preacher, be Spirit-filled, singing, already Spirit-filled. We're having a great day. It's a good day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank You for another day, another time to serve You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand as we take our hymn books this morning. Turn to hymn number 139. Great is Thy faithfulness. Hymn number 139.
Fail not, and Thou hast been there forever. to see you. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. We welcome you, and we'll be recognizing our visitors in just a moment. So, ushers, if you'd help folks as they come in find a place, that'll be just great. Thank you for being here on this nice, cool Sunday morning, getting a little bit like fall, And that's a good thing. Well, this is a marvelous day in the life of a particular family. We're so thankful for Jordan and Olivia Webster, and they have come today. Give me this microphone, if you will. They have come today asking that they could dedicate little Aubrey Lynn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they understand, realize that this is not something that prepares them for salvation or in any way affects their salvation or anything like that. It is more a demonstration, a dedication of mom and dad, but it's recognizing that children are a gift unto the Lord, from the Lord. And so I have here Aubrey's first Bible, and so we want to give that to her. God bless you. And so we have both of the daughters here. That's great. Hi, dear. Good to see you. Bright eyes. And so Jordan and Olivia are coming today to recognize God's gift and to thank God for the wonderful privilege of raising her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to ask, if you would, to have the grandparents that are here. It's good to have you all here. Would you come and stand also with them, if you will? And grandparents have a great impact on children, and not just for spoiling them and sending them home, but they have a great influence, a spiritual heritage. And so today they join in agreement with Dad and Mom and asking God for His blessing upon them. And to that end, I'd like to share three verses from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Talking about teachable moments, pointing them to Jesus Christ. What a privilege and what a joy to have them here today. And if I could, we'll take Aubrey right here. Hi there, Aubrey. Whole church loves you, but not as much as Mom and Dad, and not as much as Grandma and Grandpa. But we're going to pray and ask the Lord to touch her heart at a young age so that she'll be saved. That's right. That's right. Dear Lord Jesus, I join in agreement with Jordan and Olivia and their love for you, asking you to touch at a very young age little Aubrey. Thank you, Lord, for the joy and the pleasure of raising children. And Lord, I pray for wisdom on their behalf. Lord, I pray that you would guide them, help them to be godly parents. Bless the grandparents now. Help them, Lord, to fill in the gaps. Lord, I know that moms and dads, we have one chance at raising children. I thank you, God, for grandparents that are godly with a good example. And Lord, bless her, I pray. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in and through her life as they dedicate her for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the upbuilding of His kingdom. Bless her, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have something. There you go. That's right. You're such a good girl. Jordan, I have something that you can keep as a memorial of this day. And then, Jordan, I'd like to give this to you as well. This is a letter from me as her pastor. I would like you to keep this. And I would like you to give it to her or read it to her when she trusts Jesus Christ as her Savior. We're praying that way. We're praying to the end that one day, very soon, when she's still young,
We're praying that God will touch her little heart and that she'll truly be saved and born again in the family of God. And when she does, I want you to read this to her as a memorial of this day. And we're thanking God that his promises are true. Train up a child in the way he should go, or she should go. And when she is old, she'll not depart from it. God bless you. If you'll be in prayer with this dear family as they raise their children for Jesus Christ, we let them know by a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. We're so thankful for you and proud of you. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. Grandparents, God bless you. God bless you. God bless y'all. Thank you so very much. Thank you for sharing this precious time with us. Amen.
Maybe this is your first time being here at the home place with us, and we want to make sure that you understand you are welcome here with us as well. I'm going to ask my ushers, guys, if you will, come on forward. As a matter of fact, while they're coming, I'm going to remind you that we need some more of these to sign up to help us going forward in the future. You've seen this morning, got a good number here. Kind of difficult for folks to find a seat sometimes, and we need you for those things and many others. And that sheet is still back there. We're going to take those sign-ups a little bit longer, then we'll contact you and get together to meet. But those of you that are here for the first time, we would just be delighted to be able to welcome you properly. But we need to be able to identify you. I'm wondering if you'd be so kind as just to raise your hand, indicate that this is your first time, just quick enough to let these guys get to you. They've got a card and a pen that they want to put into your hand. And once they put that into your hand, if you'll fill that out, keep the pen for yourself. And when we pass the offering plate around in just a few moments, if you'll just put that card in there, you keep the pen. A very, very, very small gift from us. Just something to say thank you. But we want to have that chance to let you know that we're glad that you came. You could have been a lot of places today, but we're glad that you're here. Of course, we're so glad that Jordan and Olivia's folks are all here. Big crowd of folks up here, and glad to see them as well. There are a lot of things going on here at the home place. You can't miss the Journey Through Christmas stuff going up. You really can't miss it. Hopefully your car misses it. Okay, try for your car to miss it. But it's hard to miss it. It's everywhere. But not only is the stuff everywhere, the people are everywhere. And we need more people involved. I want to make a few announcements. I've already made the usher's announcement. Brother Jim has already talked about the Super Seniors event coming up as well. But the Journey announcements continue on. We have work days coming up. They're every Saturday, which really is only a couple of Saturdays left. Just a couple of them left, but we need all hands on deck again, if we can, please. Brother Dave Weiss is going to be here. Also, I think I've got it here. It's in your bulletin. You can look there. November 21st, November 23rd, November 26th, December 3rd. If you can find one of those days that you can be made available and come and take a couple of hours or maybe more than that to help Brother Dave and the folks that are here to get ready, the last few things that we punch out and get set for everybody to show up and present the gospel, we would just be thrilled to have your help with that. There's all kinds of things and ways to be involved. So take note of that and get in on it if you will. Now, there's one thing on there you can scratch off of your list. The Teens Horizons Journey Bake Day, December 2nd at 5:30 p.m., that is canceled, okay? The reason that is canceled is because this past Friday night, they cooked all the cookies they needed in that one night. That is tremendous. Have you ever done, is Miss Stacy over there, Miss Betty Kay, have y'all ever done that? That's incredible. Y'all must have had quite a crowd out there. I saw a few of the pictures on Facebook. So thank you to all of those Teens Horizons group, the adults that were with them that showed up. Man, thank you so much. Got all of that done. So take the night off on December 2nd. And just congratulate yourselves a little bit there. Good job on that. So don't worry about getting together for that bake night on December the 2nd. Of course, Journey Through Christmas coming up. Be passing out those cards, the tickets, the business cards, the door hangers, the things for the side of your truck, for the T-shirts, everything you can to get the word out. Let folks know where we'll be and what's going on. We want to get the name of Christ out through this very unique ministry. So be sure you're busy about that as well. Now, a week from this Thursday, we're going to have our first CMA concert of this new year. So the fall term will wrap up a week from Thursday night. Not only are we going to have that first CMA concert, it'll be Brittany Szilagyi's commissioning service. She'll be leaving the following morning, that Friday morning, to head off to Romania, a one-way ticket, not coming back until they tell her to come back. She's going over there, giving her life as a missionary to those young people in service to the Lord there at that orphanage. And we're just thrilled for her. It's been a tough road. It's been a fun road for her. But it's finally come to the point where she's making the jump to go over there. So we're praying for her. You be praying for her as well. But please be there that night as a church, as a family. We can send her off properly. Also, want to add to this, thanks service
Tuesday night. Be sure. Thanks service Tuesday night. We want to make sure we're not going to meet on Thursday. Obviously, that's Thanksgiving night, but we need you to be here Tuesday night. We're going to have CMA as normal. I know it's not normal to be on Tuesday, but it'll be our normal for our midweek service. So CMA folks will still be practicing, and it'll be a crucial practice. We need them to be there for that. But we want everybody to come and share what God's done in your life. We'll have some unique ways for you to plug into that. If you cannot be here, tune into the live stream, and you can still be involved with that as well. I did jump one more announcement that I need to make. Miss Karen needs to meet with the shuttle team members, those that are on the shuttle team, shuttling folks back and forth. Or if you have an interest in being in the shuttle team and they need some folks in those areas as well, see her. And I'm looking for Miss Karen. She pointed me back left, but I want to make sure it's that back left and not my back left. I don't see her right now. I'm presuming that meeting is going to take place right back over there. So if you're interested or you're already involved in that, meet her right back over there. Thank you so much. After the service.
Brother Kenny Gogan is going to come now, and the choir is going to help him sing about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We're blood-bought believers. The great price that was paid for our redemption. And, you know, we shouldn't be all gloom and glum about that. We should have a brightness about it. We should have a joy in our hearts, spring in our step, lilt in our voice. And so I hope that this song will be an encouragement to our hearts, the blood-bought church.
Lift up their voice, they shall sing for joy. They shall cry aloud and be free. They shall glorify the name of the Lord. It's the blood bought the church, the redeemed. Oh, pick up your harp, O Zion of the Lord. Let the earth ring forth with his praise. All his children rejoice from the islands of the sea. It's the blood of the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force with the shout of praise that you raise your soul. Every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought the church, the redeemed. Let the earth be silent, O winds cease to blow. Every created being, fold your wings. But as a new song being sung with a new melody, it's the blood bought the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force with the shout of praise of true wretched soul. Every stronghold bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood of the church. It's the blood of the church, the redeemed, the redeemed.
Go ahead, admit it, you were tapping your foot, right? It's all right. It's really okay. Grab your book, 493. You can join the choir now. We're not going to sing that song, though you might have been regretting not being in the choir for that song. 493, let's go ahead and stand and sing glory to his name.
Down at the cross where the Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of God. Glory to his name.
so well. Ushers coming on down to receive the offering this morning. And while they're doing that, let me tell you that we are at this time of year in the preparation for Journey Through Christmas that we need to shake the tree. We need to shake the tree. We have some needs in several places of Journey Through Christmas. The most visible needs are some actor positions that we still need to fill. Now, these are not positions that you have to learn lines. You do not have to speak. But we need some people in crowds and that kind of thing. We need ladies and men. Ladies and men. Now, you say, well, I thought that we had enough. We need 95 actors. 95 actors. That's the size of a small church right there. 95 people that would, and we've got plenty of costumes. Don't have to worry about that. We've got you covered on the costumes. But we need some men and some ladies that would be willing to serve in a capacity for God to use you in part of the gospel message. That's what it is. That's what it is. There's something we call the Via Dolorosa. That is depicting the path that Jesus carried the cross. And as people are leaving Pilate's hall and they're walking down the Via Dolorosa, there are some people along the sides that are conversing one with another. And some of them are saying things like, you know, I can't believe they're going to crucify him. Yeah, I can't believe they're just talking one with another. And as they're walking by, the people are listening to this with the music going on, and they're being prepared for what they're going to see as they turn the corner at Calvary. We need some people in that scene, some men and some ladies in that scene. Now, we don't have any to where we can, we pulled them out of there for other places. I told our directors, I said, you know, I believe that God will provide people to be a part of this. Some people are just sitting back in the background saying, they don't need us. They don't need us. You know, if it wouldn't embarrass you, we'd just walk up and down the aisle and say, are you in Journey? We need you. You know, but I believe that God can do that just as well. Much better, in fact. And I know it's a commitment. I understand that. But when we can come to the end of the week and thank God for hundreds, please understand, I say this honestly and humbly, that we can thank God for hundreds of people who voluntarily filled out a card saying that they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Wouldn't you want to have a part in that? Wouldn't you want to have investment in that? So, thank you for all the work that's going on. Thank you for all the cooking that's going on. Thank you for all the prayers that are going up. Thank you for all the money that's being given and all those things. But when it comes down to game time, get on the field. Find a place. Let God use you. You'll be surprised the blessings that God will pour out. Well, I don't know for sure if I can do that. Let Jesus do it through you. So I'm shaking the tree. I'm asking you today to stop by the Journey table and say, I don't know for sure what I can do, but God's laying upon my heart to do something. And they'll talk with you there. They'll explain some of the scenes that are available. They'll explain some other ways that you can be involved. So if you would, read that little blurb I put on the front of the bulletin. And let God speak to your heart about this, because this is a crusade to reach souls for Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what it is. They won't come to a revival meeting. They won't hear an evangelist. A lot of them won't even come if we had some great singing group, you know, that everyone knows the name of. But they'll come to something called Journey Through Christmas. And I've talked to people all over the place. I've handed them tickets, you know, and I'll say, Journey Through Christmas. I was over at, Enterprise Cove just the other day. I think on Wednesday, I think I was over there and pulled in. And the people that I was there to see, they weren't available. And so I was going back to my car. And some folks saw the little magnet on the side of the car, and they said, Christmas, Journey, church, I need to talk with you. And after talking to them a while and counseling with them a little bit, I pulled out the little ticket, and I invited them to come. She said, oh, yeah, I come there every year. When is it? I need to know. We have an impact and a possibility of reaching souls. So please, please be a part of it. Let God bless you through this. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the privilege of serving you. And I ask you now that you would move upon our hearts in a special way. Lord, help us to follow your leading and your direction. Help your church to step out of their comfort zone and to say, yes, I'll serve you in some way that's out of the ordinary for me. Lord, it might be someone that hands a candy stocking to boys and girls. It might be someone who seats people as they come in the auditorium. It might be someone who dons a costume who's never been an actor in a play in school in their life. But they're saying, Lord, I'll let you use me in some way. So, Lord, I pray that you would bring folks. Help us as we hand out these tickets. As folks receive them in their bags in Chick-fil-A this week. Lord, whatever the case may be, may they come to hear the wonderful news that you have come. But Lord, more than that, that you're coming back. Thank you so much for the blessing of giving unto thee. Thank you for your people and their faithfulness. Lord, may we continue to trust you and follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much. And a couple of our folks in our church here, Brother David, I think you're celebrating, you and Kathy, 38th anniversary. Amen. You stuck with him 38 years. Ah, bless your heart. Hey, let's sing a fellowship chorus together, reminded of this being Thanksgiving weekend, and we gather together to thank him as the offering told us in the offertory. Let's stand and sing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole." Sing it together now.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
You fellowship one with another. Shake hands as the choir comes down. God bless you. Good to have you here. We'll sing it again in just a moment. Turn around and shake hands. God bless you.
Amen. Well, let's sing it together again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. For giving to me thy great salvation. So rich and free.
Well, amen. God bless you and may be seated. So thankful for our young people. Our young people in Sunday school, they gave us as staff, they gave us a little gift. Has raisins, a box of raisins here with a turkey look on the back. And it says, "Thank you for raising up a standard of righteousness." And so we're so thankful. Bless your hearts. And we enjoy that. So it's marvelous to have Congressman Webster and our rejoicing with you at God allowing you to retain your seat in a new area. They moved his district hoping to push him out. And that we can't explain that type of decision and move in any other way except to try to finagle a way to get a voice of righteousness out of leadership. But God is greater than all those who would gather themselves against like Daniel of old in the Old Testament. And so we're praying for you, Brother Webster, and wish you were in our district. But we're praying that God will bless you and use you in a mighty way as he already has. God bless your heart. And know he's very busy, and good to have them here as well. Well, we're going to have a song introduced.
Give him time to get in front of the orchestra. Rejoice is coming now to sing a wonderful song. You won't recognize the first part except for the words, because the melody's been changed a little. But when we get towards the end, you'll recognize this. How marvelous, how wonderful.
I stand alone.
Thank you so very much. Great song, great message. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. When we have a message, we usually end with an invitation. I'm going to ask a big favor of you, provided that I extend the invitation by about 15 after 11. Would everyone just remain in your place, hopefully, unless there's an emergency? You see, if someone has to leave because of an emergency, that's understandable. But if someone just needs to get to the restaurant a little bit earlier than anyone else, trust me, I'll let you go in plenty of time. If you'd be so kind as to at least wait until the invitation is fully underway. Because, you see, there might be someone sitting in front of you or behind you or beside you that might be just enough distraction to get them off of what the Holy Spirit's doing in your heart. So if you could help me with that, that'd be just marvelous. And I trust that you understand it doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with the people that are near you. And I trust that you'll have a thought about that. In this thought about three facts about eternity, I hope and pray that you don't turn to another channel in your mind, because you might say, well, I've heard this about heaven, about hell, and all this kind of thing. I believe that the passages in God's Word here today will surprise you on some things that hopefully you haven't thought of in this vein and in this way. There was a preacher who was visiting a church who was looking for a new pastor, and he was candidating there. And as he preached, he preached a message on hell. And about a few weeks later, another preacher came in and he preached a message. And turns out he preached the same topic as the previous pastor. Well, the church called the second preacher to be their pastor. Later on, the young pastor heard that the first man preached the same topic and the same type of message. He said, "Why did you ask me to come and be your pastor and not the first man?" A wise man in the church said this. He said, "Well, when the first guy preached, he preached on hell, and it almost seemed like that he was glad about it. He was glad that people were on their way to hell. He said, when you preached, it was like you had a broken heart." I pray that God will give us a broken heart here today. You see, we can have great music and wonderful ministries and Journey Through Christmas and everybody involved that sits in the pew. I mean, someone doing something, and that's commendable. But if we do not have a new vision and a clear understanding about God's judgment upon our neighbors, upon our cashiers, upon those sitting beside us, around us, those that we work with, those that we're friends with, then our living here has been in vain. And so I turn your attention here to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." May you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I admit and confess to you my weakness. I have not sensed such spiritual warfare since preaching here in these past few weeks as I've sensed here today. I believe that it's because that there are people that are just on the line. Lord, they're just almost on their way to a devil's hell.
There could be someone in here that does not know you in the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, if they leave the doors of this church, they don't know what tomorrow may hold. I pray, Lord, you get a hold of all of our hearts. I pray, God, for Christians, that you would revive us. Lord, give us a clear vision of heaven and a clear vision of hell. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in a way that points people to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our midst through thy precious word. Fill me anew and afresh with your Holy Spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon this place and upon this time that we have together. Lord, may your angels encamp round about us. And Lord, may we lift up Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've walked into a hospital room when someone has gotten bad news about a diagnosis and perhaps they did not know yet what the doctor had said, you understand what this is like. You understand the questions that go through your mind. Should I say something? Should I not? Should I be kind? Should I just act like it doesn't exist and the diagnosis is, or should I talk about it? It's awkward. It's awkward. None of us like talking about eternity. None of us like talking about death. None of us like talking about an eternal home. Why? Because God placed within us a desire to live. And that's normal. And that is natural. And so something beyond our ability to control, we like to just not talk about it at all. But we must. And the Bible talks about it. And if I'm going to preach the whole counsel of God, I'm going to preach what God has to say. But let me just for a moment turn our attention to three thoughts here about eternity that God gives to us as facts. First, we have an appointment with death. The Bible says in our text, as it is appointed unto men once to die. There's an appointment coming. It is on God's calendar. Now, I understand, and you understand if you've studied the Word of God, that believers are looking for the blessed hope. We're looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. But if God decides and sees fit that Terry is coming, there is a date on God's calendar for Mark Sears to die. And one day is going to come up on my to-do list. I don't know if you operate on to-do lists, but it seems like that's the only way I can seem to be productive. And there are things on my to-do list that I try to put off. But that's one thing that I cannot put off when God calls and when God says. And so I want to give you a few thoughts here about this appointment. And people give lies that folks believe about death. They get these lies from folks that are supposed psychics. Now, let me help you with something. A psychic is a good actor or a good actress. All right. If there is something spiritual about the person, if they are conveying some type of spiritual power, then it's not something. It's not some understanding that they have, and it's not your loved ones that they are conversing with. It is a devious demonic spirit that is telling them things and revealing things that perhaps only your brother-in-law or only your sister or someone like that would know, humanly speaking. But spiritually speaking, those secrets are known. And so demons can try to deceive people. And just because someone tells you something that you think gives proof, my friend, the accurate truth is found in the Holy Word of God. Some people have near-death experiences and they see things and they come back and tell things and they're interesting. But let me caution you that even a near-death experience that disagrees with the Word of God, make sure that you stand on what God says. I'm not saying that those things aren't true. You see, in the Bible we find that even the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven when he was stoned at Lystra. And he was allowed to see things and hear things that God said, that's classified. You're not allowed to tell people about that. And so, you know, I'm not saying that people cannot see or hear things in a near-death experience that's not true. I'm not saying that. But don't base your doctrine and your life upon it. Some people say, well, because my favorite celebrity
says that death is this, or they believe that, or whatever. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow His Word. Now, letter A here, on this thing about appointment with death. Death is not going to happen to me. That's a lie. That's a lie. How about if we make it this way? Death is not going to happen to me anytime soon. Isn't that kind of better, nicer, you know? But yet the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Toni Hollingsworth, she was on the cheerleading squad for the basketball team at Tennessee Temple University, where I went to Bible college. She was a picture of health. She was a young lady that was kind and Christ-like and godly and modest and all those things, and yet she was an athlete. And she asked her parents on a Sunday afternoon, she said, I have a splitting headache. I have a migraine that just will not stop. I can't go to church tonight. She was always in church. She was always faithful. She was about 19 and a half, 20 years old, something like that. She stayed home that night. Her parents came home and found her lying there on the living room floor, and she was gone out into eternity. They found out that she had an aneurysm in her brain, and it burst, and she went out to eternity that quickly. Toni Hollingsworth met Jesus Christ that evening, and she had no preparation for it at all. You and I don't have a clue when some idiot is going to cross that yellow line who's been drinking and partying, and we're going to go out into eternity in a split second. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. James chapter 4 describes it this way. It says it just like steam. You see it just for a few moments and it's gone. That's a picture of our life. Now, this lie is often believed by young people. I'm not going to die. Youth, you know, when people are young, they think they're going to live forever. And then when arthritis sets in, and we spend more at the pharmacy than we do at our hobby shop, and our life is geared around our doctor visits, we're reminded that our bodies are wearing out. But young people often think and often live like that they're going to live forever. Three guys were talking about death. They were friends and they were saying, what do you think you'd want people to say at your funeral? The one guy said, he was a very scholarly type of guy. And he said, I'd like him to say he was a great humanitarian. He cared about his community. He made a difference in his neighborhood. That's what I'd like him to say about me. I said, what about you? And the other guy, he said, I'd like him to say that he was a good father. He loved his wife and loved his family and he set a good example. The third guy was just standing silent and thinking about everything that was said. They said, what would you like him to say at your funeral? He thought for a minute and he said, I'd like him to say, look, he's moving. Nobody wants to die. Nobody does. So lie number one is death's not going to happen to me. Lie number two is death is the end of my existence. It's the end of my existence. That's a lie. John 5:25, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. Death is not the end. Our text says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. After this, the judgment. An older lady was reading her Bible on a crowded bus. She was sitting there minding her own business. A very distinguished looking gentleman got on the bus and sat down beside her. He looked over and saw her reading material. He said, ma'am, do you believe that you're reading? She said, every word of it. He said, my name is Professor Smith. I teach philosophy at the university. There's no way that you could believe that. She said, yes, this is God's word. I believe every word of it. He said, even Even that stuff about Jonah and the whale? He said, yes, sir. He said, how in the world, how do you know that it's true? They talked a little bit. She realized that she was not going to win a debate argument with this guy. She finally just said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll have Jonah tell me about it. He said, what if Jonah's not up in heaven? She looked him square in the eye. She said, then you ask him. Folks, death is not the end of existence. There is coming a day when every voice, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Line number one is death is not going to happen to me. Line number two, that death is the end of my existence. Line number three, death will give me another chance. Death will give me another chance. At the very crux and heart of the Hindu religion is this thought of reincarnation. More and more, this is being adopted and adapted into lifestyles. That if you goof up and mess up in life, that you'll have another go around at it. Did you remember our text? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Reincarnation is a lie. It is a false trust. And even in some religions today, people think that they have a second chance, and they teach something that's not found in the Word of God, called purgatory. And somehow they think that if someone does not make it to heaven as a result of the end of their life, that they'll go to this middle place called purgatory. And in purgatory, they'll suffer enough in the eyes of God over a period of time that finally God will be satisfied and allow them on up into heaven. Or perhaps if they have enough family and friends to pay for enough prayers and light enough candles and give enough to the church, that somehow they can ransom them out of purgatory and get them on up into heaven. There's a couple of problems with that. Number one, that's not found in the Bible. And number two, that is a salvation based upon works. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could work our way to heaven, then tell me why in heaven's name would God the Father send his only begotten Son to die in my place on a cruel cross and take my sins upon his holiness? Why would he put him through that if there was any other way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have an appointment with death. Second, we will appear before God. We will appear before God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, God pulls back the curtain of eternity and he speaks about this thought and this topic of death. And he says this. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That word asleep, that term, is a soft way of referring to believers when they die. You see, they're not separated from God. When believers when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they put their faith and trust in Him as a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God indwells them. And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Death is separation. So for a Christian, they're never separated from God ever again. And so the Bible refers to the death of a believer that his body is in the grave sleeping. And it's going to be awoken. It's going to be awakened one day by the Creator. We will appear before God. This thought here. Will appear before God at the judgment seat where the service of the unsaved will be examined. The service of the unsaved. Excuse me. God, please help me. The service of the saved will be judged and examined. Now, our service for Him is not about our salvation or staying in heaven. Our service for Him is about the crowns that he wants to present to us that we will then present at the feet of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The service of the saved will be examined. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." That word bad has the meaning and the connotation of worthless, empty, vain. In other words, 1 Corinthians 3 describes that as we are there in heaven as believers, that our works will be examined with the fiery eye of God, and those things done for self, those things not done for the glory of God, those things done for the acclaim of others, or whatever case may be, all those things will be burnt up. We will have potential that will be gone and vanish before our very eyes. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it goes on at the end of that passage, and he says this, "Yet he himself should be saved, yet so as by fire." It's not talking about whether or not you're going to be in heaven. It's talking about opportunities for God to reward you for faithful service. So for a Christian, you don't have to fear death. For a Christian, it's moving from this plane of walking with God to walking with God face to face. In life, we walk by faith. In heaven, in death, we walk by sight. Death bears no sting for the believing Christian. There was a missionary in Brazil. He found an Indian tribe in the jungle. And this tribe had not been touched by very many people that had been in that area of Brazil. And he was not a physician. He was not a doctor. He did not have medication. But he understood disease and he knew what was happening. And he was seeing these Indians die right and left. There was a hospital not too terribly far away. It was on the other side of a river. And this tribe, these Indians in this tribe believed that there were evil monsters in the river. And they never got close to the river, much less got in the river. And when the missionary described to them that they would need to cross the river to go to the hospital, they said, "Absolutely not. No, no." They were scared to death. He told them, he said, "There's nothing to fear in the river. It's totally fine." He went to the river and he got in there and he said, "Look, see?" And he splashed around. He went waist deep in the river. He splashed the water on his face. He said, "See, the river's not going to harm you. Please come to safety." They still looked at him shaking their heads. "No, absolutely not." Missionary did not know what else to do, so he dove into the water and he swam underwater in the river and he swam to the other side. He got out on the other side of the and he thrust his hand up in victory. He said, "See, there's nothing to fear. Come, follow me." They cheered. And one by one, they came across the river. Listen, please. When Jesus Christ was here ministering on earth, he spoke to the little boy that had died, and he raised from the dead. He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life," and they did not believe him. The little maid, he touched her, raised her from the dead. He said, "Come, follow me." They would not believe him. Went to the tomb of Lazarus, who'd been buried for 4 days. Said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." He raised him from the dead. They would not believe him. But one day he plunged into the river of death himself. And he came out the other side. And there was a group of disciples there that were energized and said, "Yes, we'll follow you. For the believer in Jesus Christ, death has no fear, no terror, no sting. The sting of death is sin." And I thank God that sin has been dealt with at the cross. We will appear before God in the service of the saved, And some will appear before God in the sentencing of the lost at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." God gives us a preview of what's going to take place in the future. The great white throne judgment. There's going to be a sentencing of the lost. "Preacher, I thought you said salvation was not by works. I thought that passage says they're to be judged according to their works." Absolutely. See, God will prove that every person is flung into the lake of fire, that every person deserved as an unrighteous sinner before a holy God deserved that judgment. So who do you think you are, Pastor? I'm an unrighteous sinner. I deserve to be in the lake of fire. I deserve to go to hell. And that's why Jesus died upon the cross for me, so that I would not have to go there. And so you would not have to go there. That's why we have Journey Through Christmas, to tell people that they don't have to go to a devil's hell. That Jesus loves them. He died for them on the cross. And he wants them to be with them in heaven. We have an appointment with death. We will appear before God. And last, we will accept final judgment. We have to accept final judgment. Either eternal pardon from our Savior. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and at the end he said, "It is finished." The payment for our redemption was complete. The pardon was sealed. Our sins were paid for in the precious blood that was shed as the sacrifice for our sins. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Isaiah 53:6 talks about that. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus said it this way, John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." On September 11th, a fireman went into Tower 1 of the World Trade Center. After the first plane had struck, he was in a hallway. As he opened the door into that hallway, he looked and there was nothing but smoke. He couldn't see hardly his hand in front of his face. He hollered as loud as he could. He said, "If any of you can hear my voice," he turned on his strong flashlight. He said, "If you can see the light, follow the light." He started hearing people, "Help me, help me, help me." And he shone that light through the smoke. They found the light. He led 6 people down the stairwells. The firefighter said that 3 minutes after they exited the building, that whole structure came tumbling down. Jesus Christ is saying today, "I shed my light upon you. I give my love to you. Please follow me out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come my way." There's eternal pardon. Eternal pardon for our salvation. But if you won't accept that final judgment, if you today say, "You know, I understand what you're saying, Pastor, and I understand that, you know, death's going to come, but not today. It's not going to come today. I've got time, and I don't want to be embarrassed. I didn't plan on getting saved today. I didn't plan on owning up to that, and I'm afraid that my family might think something awful about me or whatever, so I'm just going to put it off. It'll be okay." If you reject the eternal pardon, and if Jesus Christ comes back today, or if death calls your name today, then you will accept the eternal punishment for your sin. You will accept that. Matthew 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Have you ever cast out a demon out of a demon-possessed person? I haven't. There may be somebody in here that God has used you in a great and mighty way to do some great spiritual warfare like this. Jesus is saying, even if you've cast out demons, he says, and in thy name done many, many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. It wasn't that you were saved and got lost again and got saved again and got lost again and got saved and lost, saved, lost, saved, and lost track and boom. You died when you're lost. No. God never loses anybody. I lose things all the time. Of all the things I've lost, I missed my mind the most. The question here today is not, are you going to die? That's not the question. The question is not, when are you going to die? The question is not, how are you going to die? The question is, are you prepared to die? That's the question. 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Sir, let me ask you a question. Do you know, if you died right now, that heaven would be your home? Ma'am? Mom? Teenager? If I was sitting in your living room right now, and I'm not standing here preaching, I'm just sitting in your living room with you, talking with you, and I were to ask you, if you were to die right here where you sit, do you know that heaven would be your home? You might say, well, I'd like to think so. I hope so. I want to go to heaven one day. But we just read a verse that says that you can know. And it doesn't have to do with being a part of Volusia County Baptist Church. This church can't save you. This church can't get you to heaven. Pastor Reynolds used to always say, no prophet, pastor, priest, or rabbi can get you into heaven. Jesus will either be your Savior or He'll be your judge. Close with this. A young law student, he was on his way to class. It was a very blustery, cold January day. As he's walking to class, he just happened to notice over there on the pond, it's all frozen over, and there was a boy over there ice skating on the pond. He heard something just out of the glint of his eye. He happened to catch that little boy. The ice broke, and he fell down in that freezing water, drowning. No one was there to help him. He dropped his briefcase, and a young law student ran over, bravely went to the edge of that hole, and reached down and grabbed a hold of that boy and pulled him to safety. He rescued him. Many years passed. That young lawyer had grown to be a very successful lawyer with his own firm. In fact, he was promoted to be a judge. One day he was sitting on the bench as they ushered in a long-haired, scraggly-looking man. He came in his courtroom because he was charged with several serious crimes. The judge looked down there. And that man, a scraggly man, recognized the judge. That's the guy who rescued me. He thought, it's going to be okay. The trial went on forward. Sentencing came. And as they read the sentence, and before the judge hit the gavel and made everything settled, he said, "Your Honor, don't you remember me?" He said, "Of course, son. I remember you. That day on the pond, I was there to save you. But today, I'm your judge." There may be someone here today that Jesus Christ has done everything possible to reach into your heart and to save you. But if you push him away, one day you will stand before him and he'll be your judge. And we've seen that in his word. I'm not trying to scare you. If I could scare you into heaven, I would do my best. But it's only the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus that'll make it a decision that will last all of eternity. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you for your steadiness. I appreciate that so very much. I invite you to look into your heart. And if I were sitting in your living room and asked you that question, if you died today, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? Some of you are sitting here right now and God is dealing with your heart. You're not having a heart attack. No, that's not what's happening. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. If you would say, "Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I hope I'm going to heaven. But I've battled with this for a long time, and I do not know for sure. I don't understand what my problem is, but God is dealing with my heart about it, and I don't want to leave this church not knowing and not having it settled. Would you pray that I'd get saved before it's too late? I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I'll pray with you and for you. No one's looking. If you say, 'Preacher, would you pray for me? God is speaking to my heart. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven.' Would you slip your hand up? Take it right back down. God bless you. Yes, are there others? Yes, God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Are there others? Are there others? Would you be honest with God just so I can pray with you and for you? I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I want to. Yes, God bless you back there. Amen. Are there others? How about just getting honest with what God already knows? Are there others? God's dealing. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Are there others? Yes, 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 young man. God bless you. How about others? How about others? All right. I'm going to deal with these and I'm going to talk to the Christians and then we'll pray. If you raise your hand, please listen intently. Jesus did everything he could do on his end to see to it that you could be saved. He made it so easy for you. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place? If the answer is yes, then do you believe that he rose again the third day, as the Bible says? If your answer is yes, then why not at this moment ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and life, and to save you once and for all, and take you to heaven, and know it because you nail it down here today. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to do that. Christian, if God has dealt with your heart about soul winning, about prayer, about Bible study, about membership, about whatever, you lead the way, you blaze the trail. There are people that need to get saved here, that need to settle it. Won't you obey Christ and set the example and lead the way? Bow the knee, humble the heart, surrender your will. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And when I do, those folks who raised their hand a moment ago, if you'll pray a prayer something like this, there's no magic words, but something like this, and just mean it to God, whisper it to the Lord, he will hear your prayer. He will save your soul right now and settle it today. Just pray something like this, "Dear Lord Jesus," whisper it to God, "I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died in my place. I believe he rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I'm trusting you, Lord Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You say, is that it? The Apostle Paul just simply said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is that it? Jesus did it all. I ask you this question. Did you pray and did you mean that? I ask you that question. You say, yes, I did. With no one looking around, would you give testimony to that? I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to save me just then. Slip your hand up just so I can see it and take it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Are there others? Just raise your hand so I can see it. I want to rejoice with you. Yes, God bless you over here. Are there others? Amen. Now, dear Lord, I pray that there would be people who would say, I'm not ashamed of what Jesus means to me in my life. There are some folks that need to make a public profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus. You said that if we would not be ashamed of you on earth, that you'll not be ashamed of us in heaven. I pray, Lord, that we would rejoice. This is not part of being saved, but what a joy to rejoice with those that are saved. I pray that folks would walk an aisle and say, I trusted Christ as my Savior today. I didn't have to see their hand. You saw their heart, but we want to rejoice with them. There's something about that testimony. Lord, for Christians, I ask you that you'd move upon our hearts. May we obey your voice. Surrender your call, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. The song is, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of come. O Lamb of God, I come. Christian, why don't you come today? If God has spoken to your heart, you lead the way. If you trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, let us rejoice with you about that. Would you please? Come and shake our hand. We'll show you a verse in the Bible to help you in your walk with God as we sing. Just as I am. Without one plea, would you come? Waiting not, would you come? Christians, lead the way. If you don't know God's voice, shame on you. God's speaking into your heart. You obey His call. This is a soul-saving station. I was 6 years old when I trusted Christ as my Savior. How about you? Is today your birthday? Today's your spiritual birthday? Let us rejoice with you. While these have come, these are here, would you sing the next verse? Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark spot, to thee's blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb. Would you come? Would you come? Come to Jesus. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, just in an attitude of prayer. If God has dealt with your heart, I hope you've been obedient. I hope you've listened to the Lord. Don't walk out of here regretting another disobedient action. If you trusted Christ as your Savior and you settled that, tell someone about it, would you? Before you leave, don't be a secret saint. Be a bold Christian. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious holy word. Lord, thank you that you can take a stuttering young preacher and you can magnify Jesus Christ and lift him high. Lord, we pray now that you would continue to direct our lives. Help us to follow you and serve you. Lord, thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. Thank you for your patience. We're still a little bit early. And thank you for sticking around. We have some folks to be baptized, I think. Is that true? Okay. And they're making ready? Okay. Wonderful. Pastor Aaron, would you come, please? And I'd like you to reiterate some things that I know that you have to announce. And while he's doing that, I'll redeem the time, make ready, and we baptize, and we'll be on our way. God bless you.
Been going for about a month. If you're wondering if we're still going to preach the gospel around here, and I think you've had your question answered this morning. Thank God for the blessed truth of Jesus Christ. Man, that was wonderful. And we've got folks that have responded to the gospel. We're looking. This is exciting, folks. This is exciting. It's okay to stick around a minute or two to see something like this. I did fail to mention a couple of things. One is that good news about the cookie baking all being done. That's fantastic. But they still have a meeting that they want to have. You want to have that down here. Is that right, Betty Kay, Stacey? What's that? Tent workers. If you work the tent, if you're giving out hot chocolate, I guess that's where the cookies are going out. If you're working the tent, or if you're interested, should I say that as well? No, don't say that. If you've signed up, be down here. I think they're set on that. If you're interested in working in the cookie tent, sign up somewhere else. They're set. So take that eagerness and plug it into somewhere, because we need folks all over the place. Go by the journey table. Get those things taken care of. While you're out there at the journey table signing up, or while you're going by to pick up a T-shirt or a car magnet or something like that, you're going to see a big stack of Krispy Kreme donuts, okay? For those of you that pre-ordered, purchased those, they're available. The youth have those prepared for you to take those home, distribute them, eat them, whatever it is you bought them for. And they got a couple of extra dozen. They got a few extra dozen so that if somebody did not order some, yet they still would like to have some, those are available. Or if you just walk out that way and you decide you want some, I don't know how long you have to wait to see how many are the extras, but there's plenty of donuts out there. But if you did order them, be sure to pick them up, please. It may be that if you don't pick yours up, they'll assume you didn't want those, that you donated the money, and then they'll sell your dozen. So be sure to pick those up. Are we ready, Pastor? We're ready to go.
Okay. Just have a seat right there. This is Shanice Burns, and Shanice came forward, I believe it was last Sunday, and made her public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And she wanted to talk with her parents, and it's a wonderful thing. 14 years old, and Mama's right here. And God bless you, Shanice. We're rejoicing with you. We're thanking God for what He's done in your heart and your life. And because you're a Christian, because you got saved, I think that was on a Thursday night in youth meeting. And as a result of that, then you're not ashamed of Jesus, are you? And you're today taking your stand for Him in baptism. So, Shanice, upon your profession of faith in Christ Jesus, I now baptize thee, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless your heart. The first step of obedience for a Christian is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And we encourage folks to do that. And so if you've not been baptized, you're disobedient. Amen. So make that right. God bless you. Let's stand, please. I did not start growing in the Lord as I should for 4 years. And then after I got baptized, it seemed like things in my spiritual life began clicking. And I found out later it's because I was now an obedient Christian. So I encourage you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Please come back tonight. And if you will, please pray about what God could do through you in Journey Through Christmas. You do not have to be a member of VCBC to be involved in Journey Through Christmas. We encourage all of our members to be involved, but you might be a regular attender. And I haven't had God's peace. For some reason, people visit our church for 2 or 3 years sometimes. So if you've not yet joined, that's all right. Stop by the table back there, journey table, and let us know. See you tonight, folks. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.